Jesus, thank you. Amen. Thank God for the precious blood that washes away our sin and causes us that we might be able to pull up to his table. You have your Bible open to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. We have been studying through the book of Thessalonians, and I got away from it last week, Mother's Day. I want to get back into chapter 2, and I want us to look at three key relationships in these verses of Scripture that's been read in your hearing. I find in these three or four verses of Scripture, I find three key relationships that I think are very important to you and I as believers, and I want to talk to you about them this morning. Before I do, I want to get a little bit into just bringing us up to this point. You may remember, and I'll just say this by way of highlighting, and a couple of weeks ago we talked about seizing the opportunities. And I'm thankful for opportunities in life, aren't you? God gives us opportunities. Please don't let those go to waste. Seize those opportunities. Seize them. We see a group of people here. If you remember in chapter 1, the Apostle Paul is just, the whole chapter of chapter 1 is basically Paul saying, you know, I commend you for receiving the word, for turning from your idols, for turning to God, for being an exemplary people, for being an enthusiastic people, sounding out the word, and you're waiting for Jesus. You've just received the word, and you're just doing what, as a believer, you ought to be doing. He commends them. But then when you get to chapter 2, it's like Paul goes from the church to himself and his missionary team. If you'll look at that in chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance." And then he begins from there to talk about that missionary team. Of course, Paul was the leader, and he had Silas with him. He had Timothy with him. And here they are on this second missionary journey. And they pass through, and they come to Thessalonica. And because of violence, because of them preaching the gospel, we've seen in Acts 17, they were only there for about three Sabbaths day, maybe a little longer. And then because of an angry mob, because of lewd people of baser sort, the scripture says that they came in, they went into the house of Jason, which no doubt was a place where Paul and his members, his team, were staying. But they had to slip out of town at night. And I'm saying this for a reason. We're going to get back to this in just a moment. And Paul, he kind of defends himself. And he said, you know, I know that you've heard a lot of things about me. And I know that you've heard that the reason I left town was this, or the reason that I came into town was this. He said, but I want to set the record straight. Now, he does so by way of contrast. And I want to draw your attention to them, because when he talked about the Thessalonians in chapter number 2 here, he said, and you may remember, verse number 13, he said, I'm thankful for a group of people that received the word. You see that? He mentioned that in chapter 1, verse 6. Here he is again mentioning that. And I'm thankful for a group of people here at Fellowship, and I mean this with sincerity in my heart, that receive the word. Could you imagine going to a church, going to a gathering where people, they say they want to gather to worship God, they say they want to gather to hear preaching, but they never receive the word? What? Could you imagine that? I can't, and I don't want to, but I'm telling you, brethren, it happens, and it happened in this day. And the Apostle Paul said, I'm thankful, in verse number 13, for this cause also, he said, thank we God without ceasing. He said, oh, I'm thankful that when you receive the word, thank God for people who receive the word. Amen. He said, you didn't just receive it in your ear. You received it in your heart, because you didn't receive it as it is of a man. You received it as it is in truth, the word of God. Brethren, the Bible is the word of God. Amen. And so he said, you received it. Now, in a direct contrast to that, he said that there's a group of people that didn't. Look at verse 15 of chapter 2. He said, you know, there's these Jews, there's these unbelievers, there's these people. Now, I'm not speaking of all Jews. I'm speaking about the Jews in his day. So don't you leave here and say, well, the preacher's anti-Semitic. I'm just telling you what the word says. There was a group of religious bigots. There was a group of religious leaders who did not want the gospel of Jesus Christ going forward because it somehow interrupted their program. It somehow interrupted their control. And they didn't like it that way. They didn't like the liberty that comes in Christ Jesus. They didn't like the liberty that comes in being set free and delivered from your sin. And so they tried to stamp it out before it got started. And the scripture says they didn't receive the word. They rejected it. And they rejected it solidly. Look at verse number 15. He said they killed the Lord Jesus. Why? Because he gave the word. Because he was the truth. Amen. He is the truth. And people still don't like to hear the truth. And the scripture says in verse number 15, not only did they kill the Lord Jesus, but their own prophets. And they're even persecuting us, he said. Why? Because we preach the word. And they don't want to hear the word. And so he said, I thank God for people that receive the word. But on the flip side of that, I want you to know, brethren, there's a group of people that reject the word. And so you be thankful that God has put you in the right category on this one. As someone who wants to receive the word. The second thing that he commended them for is not just their reception, but their imitation. Notice what he said. He said in verse number 14 of chapter 2, he said, for ye brethren became followers of the churches of God which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. He said, you followed, you assisted, you imitated, you emulated, you wanted to do the right thing. You wanted to live the Christian life. You wanted to apply the Christian principles. Now, contrary to that, in contrast to that, he mentioned these people. Notice what they did in verse number 15. They persecuted. They persecuted. They, in verse number 16, forbid us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved. They didn't want people to get saved. They didn't want to imitate the believers. They didn't want to spread the word. They didn't want to live like Christians. And they didn't want anyone else to be Christians. And so he said, rather than them imitating and rather than them trying to be an example, they hindered the work of God. Instead of trying to be an example of the Word of God and the people of God, they hindered it. You'd be glad you're on the right side of that one too. Amen. Amen. Let us represent the Lord well. And let us be followers of the early church. And let us be followers of the Word of God. Amen, amen, church. So there's contrast here. Now the final one, he said that they did not allow suffering. Look at verse number 14 toward the end of that verse. He said, for ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen. And they did not allow that suffering to stop them. As we'll see here as we continue our study. When Paul could not forbear any longer, he sent Timothy back. And he brought back this report that these people were thriving. I mean, they were thriving. They were excited for the Christian faith. They were excited to sound out the gospel. They were excited to be a part of the work of God. They did not let a little opposition and a little persecution. They didn't quit. They didn't quit. They kept on. Amen. That fueled the fire. Now, unlike those, notice what happens to these people. The contrast of that, it says in the latter part of verse number 16, it says, the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. Lord, there's a suffering for people who reject the Word of God. There's a suffering for people who will not do it God's way, and it's coming, brother. Now, I do not say that with a heart full of proudness and pride. I'm just troubled for people that do not know Jesus that are going to suffer the day of the vengeance and the wrath of Almighty God. But I'm here to tell you, it's coming. It's coming. And so I'm glad, and I pray to God that you understand that you need to be glad that you're on the right side of that one too. I'm glad that there's therefore now no condemnation to we which are in Christ Jesus. Amen. And so now Paul turns, and he said, you know, he said, I want you to know that I'm not like them. That's what he started verse number 17. See why verse 17 starts, but. Because it's a contrasting conjunction, and I'm not getting all grammatical on you, but it's a contrast. He's saying, unlike them, we're this way. And he's been saying that in all of chapter 2. Let me show you what I'm saying. Look, if you would, in the way verse 17 starts, but we. In other words, in contrast to the way they do it, we do it this way. And it starts back, if you'll notice with me. Look back, if you would, in chapter 2. when he's talking about these contrasts, look, if you would, in verse number 4. But as we, you see that in chapter 2, verse 4? He said, this is the way we do it. He said, you want to know the way they do it? Unlike them, we do it this way. We are of God. We've been allowed of God. You see that in verse 4? Look at it very closely. This is very important material here. Now, all the Word of God is, but this is very relevant to the day in which we live and what's going on as far as the spreading of the gospel in the church and how we are to respond and how we are to receive and how we are to follow and how we are to allow and to suffer some things and understand that's just part of it. And he said this, he said, we are allowed of God in verse 4. You see that? We are allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak. We speak the things of God. We preach the word of God, amen. Aren't you glad to belong to a church that preaches the word of God? Thank God that I grew up, listen, as a Christian, when I got saved at the age of 19, thank God God put me in a church that preached the Bible. Thank God for the preaching of the Bible, brethren. Don't you ever take that for granted. God help me never to take that for granted. I'm not owed that. I don't deserve that. But thank God I'm a part of it. I get to be a part of a church that preaches the Word of God. And I'm thankful for that. I pray to God I'd never get over it. And I pray to God that you don't either. He said, we were allowed of God. He said, now what were they? See, that but is in contrast. Look at verse number 3. He said, our exhortation was not in deceit. He's saying theirs was. But we preached the truth in verse 4. He said in verse number 3, our exhortation was not in deceit, nor uncleanness. We didn't do it for impure motive. We didn't do it for self-glory and self-gain. No, we preached the truth. We're not tickling ears and playing to the grandstands. Amen. He said here in verse number 3, he said, nor in guile, but we. You see the contrast there? He said, now, they can say what they want to say. He said, but the proof's in the pudding. We preached the truth, and the truth went forward, and God honored it, and he convicted you in your heart, and now you're saved, and now you're serving God. That's a proof of the word of God being preached. There's fruit. Then he said in verse number 7, look at it, but we. What do you mean, Paul? He said, well, they've done some things, but we do it different. Can I tell you, God's people do it different. When you do things God's way, you're going to do it different, brethren. Please hear me now. Even when you're in religious circles, when we do it God's way, it's going to be different. It's going to be different. He said this, Paul, and this kind of goes around my first point here, and I want you to get this. The relationship that is mentioned, and I'll get to it in verse 17, but I want you to pick it up right here with me, verse number 7. He said, I love you. He said, see, that's the difference. He said, when people don't love you, he said, they're just religious hirelings. They're just in it for their self. They're just in it for a little attention, a little popularity. They like a little pat on the back or a little padding of the pocket. They like a celebrity Christian. You know, they want to be popular and they want their name to be out there. Paul said, listen, I didn't care if my name was out there. My name's up there. That's what matters, brother. Amen. That's what matters. If you're really concerned about your name, be concerned that your name is written up there, not out there. He said, we didn't do it for that purpose. He said, now they did. I'll get to that in just a minute. He said, no. He said, we loved you like a parent. Look at what he said in verse number 7. He said, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. You were like us, like newborn babes, and we wanted to nourish you. And I'm sorry we couldn't stay longer and spend that time that we needed to spend with you as newborn babes. We were just, listen, we were torn away. We were torn away from you. And that grieves me in my heart because I love you and I didn't want to have to just be torn away from you as newborn babes. Amen. And he said, not only we're like a loving mother, look if you would in verse number 11, he said, we're like a concerned father. He said, we exhorted you, we comforted you, we charged every one of you as a father doth his children. We loved you like a mother and a father. We loved you with a parental love. Can I tell you, folks, love makes a difference. I'm speaking to every child of God in the service this morning. I'm speaking to everyone that heads up a ministry in particular. Love makes a difference. They'll never care how much you know until they know how much you love. They'll never respond to the ministry of this preacher, to you as a preacher, as a Sunday school teacher, as a bus ministry worker.
as a children's church worker, as in missions, in anything we do, in music, people will never respond to true gospel ministry until they know that you love them as a mother and a father, that you love them like Jesus loves them. The only way we can do that is when the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. So he said, that's the first relationship. He said, we loved you like that, not like them. What do you mean, Paul? Look, if you would, at verse number 5. Neither at any time, chapter 2, verse 5, use we flattering words. This is not a game to me. And I think you know that. I'm not up here to flatter, to impress. And I thank God for the preachers of this church, our assistants, and other preachers of this church, teachers, that will stand and teach and preach the Word of God. And though we love you and we want to do what is the absolute best for you, sometimes that means there must be reproof. And sometimes that means there must be rebuke. And sometimes that means there must be correction. But let it be done with instruction. Let it be done with love in our hearts. I wish I had time, but because of time, I will not. But I will mention these verses. I hope you'll write them down and go home and read them. The Apostle Paul loved this church. He loved it. You can't help but hear his heart when I get to the scripture I'm going to get to and make just a few comments on. You can hear his heart. Now, it's one thing to hear a man's voice, but when you hear his heart, it was his heart, brethren. He loved these people. Paul loved people. A lot of times when we think of the Apostle Paul, we think of all that he went through. And Paul, listen, he said, the love of Christ constraineth us. He said, yes. He said, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. And I minister to people because I love Jesus. But Jesus has taught me to love people. God help me. God help you. God help us to understand the importance of loving others. We'll never do what God has left us here on this earth to do until we learn what it is to love people. You say, but preacher, people are unlovable. Aren't we, though? Aren't we, though? I mean, we're just kind of weird sometimes. We are. We're just kind of off kilter, and we get things backwards and mixed up, and sometimes we can just be downright contrary and stubborn. But it's all of us. It's all of us. We all have our ways. You know what Jesus said? What is Paul saying? Love them anyway. People will use you, abuse you, talk about you, put you down. Love them anyway. You say, preacher, I can't. Let Jesus love them through you. Amen. I want my ministry to be characterized by love. You say, all right, sounds like a compromiser. You call it what you want to call it. I call it Bible. I call it Jesus' way. You say, don't get so caught up in me loving you that I don't forget I have a scourge too. The same Jesus that loved the multitudes and had compassion on them, he was moved with compassion because they were as sheep having no shepherd. He asked the same Jesus that went into the temple with a scourge and drove out the money changers. And so sometimes, you know, when we're loved, don't get it mixed up now. Don't look at the love I'm talking to you about as some soft, backpedaling, compromising, no position, no stand, no backbone, no correction. Don't get it mixed up. Understand there is a tender love, and it ought to be exhibited, but there's a tough love too. And a good mixture of those will help us be what we ought to be as God's servants. Amen? Amen. He said, we loved you this way. But we weren't like them. Notice in verse number 5, he said, they use those flattering words. You know, a cloak of covetousness. He said, God knows. God knows why I do what I do. God knows why you do what you do. God knows why they did what they did. And God said, and Paul said, God knows why I do what I do. He said in verse number 6, look at it. Nor of men sought we glory. We wasn't out there just putting on a show, trying to get a pat on the back or trying to get lifted up and told how great we were and be the popular guy in town and the circuit guy, you know. He said in verse number 6 again, he said, nor yet of others that we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. We're not in it for the money. No, he said, but we. You see that in verse 7? But we. We're like a mother. Verse 11, we're like a father. God help you, God help me to be that. Now we come to the text. Verse 17, he said, but we again. And he's going to draw one final contrast here. Now don't forget what we've been talking about. In verses 13 through 16, he talked about those that received the word, those that rejected it, and those that imitated and followed, and those who were hindrances to the work of God and hindrances to the people of God. Those who suffered because they were doing right, and those who were going to suffer because they didn't do right. He said, their day is coming. And that's the way verse 16 ends. You see it? And then he says in verse number 17, but we, brethren, but we, being taken from you for a short time in presence, but not in heart. You know, again, for time's sake, I'm not going to read all this, but this man loved people. And God has really just been just speaking to my heart. This is where ministry really has its foundation. A ministry without love is not going to amount to much. It's just not. These fly-by-night things and individuals, whether it be pastors, evangelists, missionaries, Sunday school teachers, special singers, Christians. By this, Jesus said, now listen to me, saints. Children of God, listen to me. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. I've read the story, you've read it too. If you haven't, you've heard me tell it. Where a young child would always walk a long distance to a church. It was the church that D.L. Moody was preaching at. One day a gentleman who kept seeing him walk by, and there were churches en route that he would pass up. He finally stopped him. He said, young man, he said, where are you going? He said, I'm going to church. He said, well, there's churches that you passed, that you walked past to get to the one you're going to. He said, yeah, but they really love a fella down there. I pray to God that people would say, those people at Fellowship Baptist Church, they love people. I'm not saying we excuse sin. I'm not saying we excuse our own sin. But what I am saying is that we need to know what it is to love people. And that's what the Apostle Paul's saying here. If we are going to be effective in ministry, we're going to have to love people. And love's going to cost you something. Do you understand that? When you love people, it's going to cost you something. And it might cost you more than you realize. And that leads to the second thing. He said here, he said, brethren, we were taken from you for a short time in presence. And I told you about that in Acts 17, how they had to slip out of town. I mean, they were coming after them. They would take their life. Why? Just because they loved those people. They loved them. They wanted to tell them the truth about Jesus. They wanted to get the gospel to them so they could be set free. And he said this. He said, we were taken from you in presence. He said, but not in heart. My heart couldn't get away. As a matter of fact, he said down in verse number 1 of chapter 3, wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone, because I wanted to send Timothy to find out some things about you. I couldn't get back to you. And we're going to talk about that here in just a moment. And he said, I just want you to know how much I love you. Paul, why are you doing this? Because Paul understood the importance of loving people. Everybody wants to be loved. Not me, preacher. Yes, you do. Now just stop it. Quit lying to yourself. Everyone wants to be loved. Amen. The benefit of man is that we can be loved, and the benefit of man is that we are loved. But another benefit is that we have the capacity to love. And God help us to exercise that capacity. I told you I wanted to give you some scripture. Would you write them down? 2 Corinthians 2:4. Paul told the church at Corinth how much he loved them. Listen, there was all kinds of trouble in Corinth. And you know what Paul told him? He said, I love you. I love you. I had to be hard. And he said, I wrote this second letter. I wrote it with tears. But it's because I love you. He wrote in Philippians chapter 1, he said, you're always on my mind. You're always in my prayers. You're always in my heart. Why? I love you. Paul loved people. In the book of Romans in chapter 16, no less than 32 names are mentioned. Individual names. Names of people that Paul loved, that he worked with in the ministry, that he loved, that he impacted their life and their ministry. He not only mentioned individual names, he mentioned churches, he mentioned brethren, he mentioned households. He loved people. Do I love people? Do you? Do you love people? How does that show? What does it look like? What does it look like? You know, the church at Ephesus was very special to Paul. You can read in Acts chapter number 20, in verses 36. I hope you'll write this down in verse number 38. When Paul was getting ready to leave there, he was there for 3 years. When he was getting ready to leave, the scripture says he bowed down on his knees and he prayed with those Ephesian elders and those people. And he said, I'm probably not going to see your face anymore. And they fell on his neck and they wept. I mean, sorely. Why? He had established relationships with people. He loved people. And I pray to God that I never get too busy as your pastor and I never get caught up in administration and get caught up in paperwork and things that it can. It can get so difficult, the task, and I'll get to it again here in just a moment, of being a servant, of being a pastor, of being a Sunday school teacher, of being someone in the music, of being a saint of God who wants to make an impact for God. We can get caught up in the trivial things, and we can forget. You know what really matters? That man right there knows I love him. That girl right there, that lady knows I love her. That these folks know I love you. Brethren, that's what matters. And that I'm going to preach the truth to you, and I'm going to be there with you and for you. I'm not going to just be some hireling that'll stand up and unload the truth on you and then go my way and never see you again until I come back and unload it on you again. That is not biblical ministry. And it just drives me nuts to see people calling that ministry. If all I wanted was a speaking engagement, I'd become an evangelist. I pray I'd still love people. Do you love people? What's it look like? It'd be easy for me to call every one of you up here and you say, I love you. Next one. I love people. The next one. I love folks. What's it look like, though? Who'd you call this week? Who'd you pray for this week? Who'd you text this week? Who'd you send a card to this week? I'm not being mean. Listen, I'm just being real. Love has got to have an action to it. Love is a verb, brethren. It's not just an emotion. Love takes action. Amen. Is that right, church? Say amen real loud. Just if nothing else, make the devil mad. The devil doesn't love. He hates. He's a liar. He's a murderer and the father of it. And he doesn't want you loving people. And he doesn't want me loving people. And he doesn't want us to be characterized by the love of God. And he wants us just to go through trivial actions and to go through trivial motions and to check boxes and to just kind of go through the thing of, well, you know, I'm here and I'm this and I'm that. But what does that look like when you love people? If you're a real servant of Jesus Christ, it's going to show up in your life. Amen. And so the Apostle Paul said, I love people. You know, Paul used to not love people, especially Christians. But something radical happened in his life. You know about that, right? He got saved. He got born again. The Spirit of God came to live in his heart. And he fell in love with God's people. He fell in love with God. Then he fell in love with God's people. And I'm just laying on your heart now that I love you. You say, preacher, I don't know if you love me or not. Well, let me just clear that up for you. I do. And if I haven't shown you that, I'm sorry. God knows my heart. I love you. I can think of no one that I don't have a love for. I don't say that boastfully.
I say it with all that's within me, as God is my witness. Now, there's people that drive me nuts, drive me up a wall, irritate the hound dog out of me. Now, you'd have to be down south to know what it is to get irritated like that. But it's real. I just pray that a person doesn't possess something that could cause me not to love them with a godly love. They just need change, like Paul got changed. You think Christians thought very highly of Paul when he was going around persecuting the churches, hauling the women and children even into jail, killing the men for the very cause of Christ? And yet he got saved by the grace of God, and he went around, and now look what God has done in his life. Can I tell you, you're looking at a man that God did similar, the same thing in my life. I had no use for the church. I had no use for the Bible or Christians. Then I got saved, praise God. And Jesus came into my heart, and I love you. And I love lost people, and I want to help people. I want to help people. I want to be a help. I want to make an impact. I don't want to just be in hireling. I don't want to just be going through motions and just filling a spot. Something I do on the side. This is my life. And as a believer, you say, well, I do something else. Well, let this be your life. Second of all, the relationship. And I'm just, the next two are not going to be near as long as the first one, so don't get nervous. Because we may pick up on this one. Look at verse number 18. Wherefore, we could have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. Now, the first relationship you need to be aware of is you and others. Paul said, I love you. I love you. Do you love people? The second relationship is you and Satan. Yeah, I don't have a relationship with Satan. Oh, yeah, you do. See, he's got you fooled if you think you don't have a relationship with him. Oh, yes, you do. Yes, you do. He is a part of your life. He's a part of your existence, and he's part of what you do. And Paul said, I wanted to love you more. Now, listen to me carefully now. Paul said, I love you. And he said in verse number 17, he said, I endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Can you hear Paul's heart there? Are you looking at it? Don't miss it. Please don't miss it. And then he said, I wanted to come to you once and again because I love you. I wanted to see you face to face. I don't like to do things through a letter. I wanted to see you face to face, Paul said. That's what Paul's saying. He said, but I got hindered. Brethren, can I tell you there's a real devil? And he's at work. I'm going to say that again. There's a real devil. You need to say amen real loud so you can let this preacher know and you can let the devil know, I know you are real. I know you exist. And I know you are trying to hinder what I want to do for God. And until we come to grips with this, that we don't get to do everything that we set out to do, there is an enemy. This church, this pastor, these people, you, we have a plan, we have a goal, we have a vision, but there's an enemy that wants to thwart that. You understand that? And not everything that could be done in the church is going to get done if we don't get to praying and understand that our enemy is going to hinder us. Even a man like this, and even this missionary team right here that was out pioneering for God, there was an enemy, and they realized it. Listen, Paul had great discernment. I wish I had time. We may go into it next week. In Acts chapter 16, he said, you know, we were going to go through this town and this town and this town, but the Holy Ghost suffered us not to go through this town. The Holy Ghost suffered us not. The Holy Ghost forbid us to go to here and here. You know, Paul had discernment. He said, I wanted to come back to you. He said, and it wasn't that the Holy Ghost forbid me. He said, it was that Satan hindered me. God, give me the discernment and the wisdom to know the difference. And God, give you the discernment and the wisdom to know the difference between when I'm being hindered by the enemy and when I'm being forbidden by the Holy Ghost, the ally. And he had great discernment. And he said, we wanted to come once and again. He said, but we were hindered. Satan, look at it again. Satan hath hindered us. Now, I could go into that much deeper, but I'm not, because I want to get to my final point and then I'll be through. The first relationship is as people.
We ought to love people. As your pastor, as staff here at the church, if you work with a Sunday school class, a group of people, as Christians that belong to the same body of believers, we ought to love one another. And then it ought to extend outside of that to where we ought to love people in our neighborhood. We ought to love the lost. We just ought to love people. Can I tell you? And some of you are going to think, my goodness, you know, what's in the preacher? You know, you can love somebody that doesn't believe exactly like you do. Amen. They don't have to cross their teeth. Now, listen, that doesn't mean you have to agree with them. Well, I don't love anybody I don't agree with. Really? You probably don't even love yourself then, do you? I don't even agree with me sometimes. Anybody else have that? The rest of you need to get with it. Because it's coming. Amen. And so we need to learn what it is to love. Would you commit in your heart right now, I want to love people. I want to love people. God, help me love people the way you do. Help me to love people more. Help me to be active in people's lives, showing them I love them, not just telling them. I want to show people. My wife tells me regularly that she loves me, but I'm glad she shows me too. How about you? Doesn't it feel good not only to be told, but to be shown? I plan on her showing me today. She's already told me what was for dinner. I love that. Relationship with others. Then relationship with the enemy, Satan. It's real, brethren. It's real now. Wake up to it. It's real. Understand. And then finally, relationship with our friend, our Lord. He said in verse number 19, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? You know, Paul lived his life with the anticipation that Jesus could come at any time. You say, I want to love people. I want to love people. I want to impact people. Then you live like Paul lived. So I can't live like Paul lived. Well, maybe not in every way, but you can in the main way. You can live in the light of the soon return of Jesus Christ. I can too. You believe Jesus is coming? Oh, yeah. You believe he could come today? Well, now, no. Perhaps today he will return. And so he said, I realized that Jesus could come today and I could be in his presence. Is that what he said? It is. Then he said, but I won't be there without you. Look at verse number 19, the end part of it there. He says, are not even ye in the presence? And then he said in verse number 20, ye are our glory and joy. And we'll close there, and I want you to look right up here, please. Won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there? Jesus. Jesus. We're going to live in the presence of Jesus. I don't know all that heaven holds for all of us that are saved. I just know that Jesus will be there. And I know some things about it. Don't know all I'm going to know about it. Do not know all I want to know about it. But I do know some things about heaven. And I anticipate going there. I do. You know what Paul said? Paul said, you ought to live your life so that when you get to heaven, you'll look around and see some people that are there because of you. He said, ye are our glory and joy. He said, I may not get back to see you. Now, by the way, we'll see later in this letter, he did, in his third missionary journey, he did get back to see the believers at Thessalonica. But had he not, he just wanted them to know, if I never see your face again, as he told those at Ephesus, I'll see you over there. Now, brethren, I don't know what's going to happen between now and this evening or now and the time we see each other again, but as you stand to your feet, I want to share something with you that just makes my heart turn flips. And I mean this when I say it. I do not say this lightly. I do not say it whimsically, like, well, you know, this is just going to sound good. No, I mean this. We may never see each other again. Somebody has said, well, the Bible says that we're not promised tomorrow.
Well, the Bible goes further than that. It says you're not promised the rest of the day. And we may never see each other face to face, but if you're saved, I'll see you over there. I'll see you. It's going to be wonderful over there. It really is. I want to live that way. See, I want to love you like I'm going to live with you forever. Because if you're saved, I am. I am. And I want to be aware that there's an enemy that's trying to keep me from doing what's right. And I'm going to talk about that in the service tonight. I hope you'll come back. We're going to talk about the home and just some principles that's a little different that'll help us to follow the commandments. Sometimes we skip straight to the commandments, but I'm going to talk to you about some principles first. But there's an enemy now, and he's trying to thwart what you're doing. He don't want you to do what God has purpose for your life. But there's a friend who sticketh closer than a brother. His name is Jesus, and he's coming soon. If you'll live with that thought in mind, it'll change the way you live. These three relationships are very important. Very important. Let's bow our heads together. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Did God speak to your heart today?